Welcome to The Fame Game, the podcast with me, Kimberly Wyatt, who you'll probably know from the Pussycat Dolls.
It's not called The Fame Game.
Yes, it is.
It's called So You've Decided to Become Famous.
Boring.
And me, Max Rogers. As well as being married to said Kimberly Wyatt, I am a model and broadcaster.
Setting the name aside, what we can agree on is this podcast is all about fame. It's fair to say we've both experienced fame in its many forms, the highs and very much the lows. On this podcast, we're not holding back and putting all the cards on the table. We're pulling back the curtain and shining a big old spotlight on this age-old thing we call fame.
This is So You've Decided to Become Famous. And this week, find out what made Kim say this.
No matter what you do, it's never going to be good enough.
This is The Fame Game. And this week, find out what made Max say this.
What you don't sign up for is personal attack. What are we talking about this week, babe?
Social media and trolls.
It's a very important aspect.
Try and have like a good relationship, but it's been a long time coming of figuring out how.
Yeah, the trolls thing is probably the way this will be weighted.
Right.
Because that's probably a relationship. That's probably the biggest relationship with social media you have to learn to deal with.
Keys of courage.
Keys of courage. But just before we start diving into how much we hate it all.
Right.
Trolls are also a barometer of success.
Yeah, I mean, if you're being trolled, then you're doing something enough for people to hate.
Well, exactly. You're affecting people that are beyond your traditional audience. So if you've just started out, your traditional audience is probably your family and friends. You're generally got a bigger audience with Pussycat Dolls fans all over the world. But if you're getting hated, it means you're reaching people that are new.
And just like trying to understand how a person gets to a point of going to people's places of social media, their social media residences, go knocking on the door to tell them how much they hate what they see. When, like, you could just not go there.
You don't have to.
You don't have to go there.
Well, should we dive into why that is? Well, let's start off. Well, how do you deal with that when that happens? What do you do? What's your tactics?
Well, I make sure that I'm more mindful of what I follow. And if I have negativity coming my way, I block it like Wonder Woman. Block and follow, mute. Anything to get rid of those bad vibes.
So you're a block and deleter.
I'm a block and deleter.
Yeah.
But because Louis Theroux, he is my hero. We know this. Because he has this way of interviewing people and leaving the conversation open so they continue to talk even when they normally wouldn't. Whereas I feel like you open up this space for trolls. You give them a safe place to continue the conversation.
So there's two types of trolls. There's complete unrecoverable dickheads.
Yeah.
They probably haven't got an avatar in their Instagram handle and there's a series of numbers followed by some sort of code. These are morons. There's no point in even, they're block and deleters. There's no point in even affecting them. They've got no stake in society, certainly not online.
It's like just to see if they can get a buzz out of somebody.
Yeah. But there's another type of trolls, which I generally think are people that are just, there's a reason why they're doing that. And if you can find a way to empathize with it.
Misinformed.
Maybe not quite realizing that their comments are going to land, all that sort of stuff.
That's a good point. I feel like social media can become this place where people think that they're just yelling into a tin can and don't actually realize that these comments do land.
Do tend to land.
Which Twitter is like the tin can of the social media atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stratosphere.
Yeah.
And TikTok is like a lot of, well, and maybe until this point I've heard that it's getting a bit better, but when I sort of entered TikTok, it was just like a lot of young kids that really wanted to see if they could get a spike out of people.
Yeah, just get a rise, just to see if they
get a rise.
Fishing for a comment, fishing for a response. And what you have to understand is that if you open a dialogue with a lot of these classifications of people, you tend to find that actually they're nice people who've just done something they didn't quite realize the impact of. And that's my technique.
So tell us how you do this technique. How do we apply this technique, this Louis Theroux, Max Rogers technique of handling trolls?
Okay, so let's take an example. We're in the Lake District with our friends.
Yes.
We've just had Senna's probably 4 months old. And you've just finished Dolls promo.
Yes.
And this is the first time we've left the three children with my parents on their own.
Not an easy thing to do.
Not an easy thing to do, but my parents are desperate. They've been through Christmas. They obviously, they know the kids well, but they're desperate to look after them. That's what grandparents, they love that. Mm. So it's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
And our friends are getting engaged.
Yeah.
So we take the opportunity to go up to the Lake District for, I think it was two nights.
Almost died.
You almost died. You almost got blown off the top of a mountain.
Trying to get a perfect video.
If anything, that
engagement.
That is irresponsible parenting. risking your own life to go for a walk.
I risked my life for my friend's engagement.
To go for a walk. We feel like we're justified, even though we're like riddled with guilt.
Yeah.
But it's part of parenting. Anyway, we're up there. We're having a lovely time. We're putting some stuff on Instagram.
And in the meantime, we are getting trolled. Well,
so we get a message, and it was this kind of. So this is another specific kind of trolling. It's subtle, unsolicited advice.
I believe this happens in the parenting world a lot.
Motherhood is where you find these guys, and you got. It was meant as a lighthearted or as an approached as a lighthearted comment of just out of interest.
Where are your kids?
When you're climbing up and down all these mountains.
Oh, it hurt.
It hurt you. You showed me. We'd just finished a walk, so we were sat next to a nice fire, you know, trying not to miss the kids. Just got a beer. I said to our friends, I said, just give me half an hour. I'm just going to step to one side and take care of this situation.
You went Louis through on them.
Went Louis through. And so I answered the question. That's how I did it. I answered the question. Well, they're with their grandparents. They're, you know, they don't get to, they haven't, this first time we've left them with their grandparents, et cetera, et cetera, as I've already said. And I did this publicly as a response. I wasn't trying to dig this person out. I wasn't trying to draw battle lines. The whole point is you've got to be passive in this situation. And the objective is to become friends with this troll.
Because I think trolls ultimately are looking for somebody to disagree with them so they can double down on the trolldom.
Yeah, might be they've had a bad day. It might be they're not walking up a mountain and they wish they were. Then they've got their own kids. And ultimately, they know what they're saying is nonsense. Mm-hmm. So you just have to break through that barrier and just have some empathy, have some sympathy. And the objective is to become friends, no matter how. And usually the first response will be prickly. So you just keep going. Their response then back was, and this was unfortunate because it was on a public forum and because it was motherhood, people get very, very, very aggressive on either side of the debate. So she then got piled on. So she then private messages me and says, look, I'm incredibly sorry. I don't know what came over me. Of course I know that your children are well taken care of. Of course I know that you haven't just left them at home on their own. So we got talking. So, and then she said, and now I deserve all this that everybody's jumping on. I said, no, you did. And I then replied, no, you don't actually necessarily deserve that. I understand. I understand that you had a moment of weakness and you decided to type it instead of just say it to your friend.
I almost had a realization of the fact that when I saw friends and people piling on her and trolling her, it made me feel good. I hate to admit it, which must be like the recognition that trolls must, I get into a certain extent when they get responses.
But that in itself explains that even people who are doing good, respond immediately with aggression. And social media creates these battle lines between everybody where you're either on one side or the other. And life in general is a bit like that at the moment.
Yeah.
So that's what I just take a step back and just think, right, forget about this as a battle. Let's try and connect. If you don't connect, then generally you found out that this person is beyond repair. And they're not worth worrying about.
We live in a world where most people feel like they don't have the time to sit down and Louis through a situation and connect with these people, feeling like, well, it's just a lost cause, so.
It's true, I often have a lot of time on my hands.
I wouldn't have the patience or the ability to sit with a trolling comment and turn that relationship around.
Do you know the reward is worth it? Over the years, I've done this several times, and it will be when I've got time. You can't go to every single one, but I remember sitting in a hotel room in New York, and I had the day off with not much to do, and I got trolled for a little article I wrote in something, and I took the time. And at the end of it all, this was like 10 years ago, at the end of it all, we found common ground, became friends with about 6 people piled onto me. And they still follow me now and check in every now and then. The reward is, that doesn't go down as a trolling incident now. I wasn't trolled. I made some friends.
Yeah.
That's a good, I love that. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice reward. And as I said, you can very quickly work out whether or not these people are unsavable. And if they're assholes, you wouldn't speak to them. You'd avoid them in real life, so avoid them on social media.
So tell us the time when you have been trolled, affected by somebody's comments.
Actually, I think with the Jamila thing.
Who I love. I think she's brilliant and she's done so much good in this world. That I Weigh campaign is fantastic and her work is great. Like,
the irony is we're good friends with her.
Which is a good example because I do feel like you said having compassion sometimes for the things that people may say in a moment shouldn't always tarnish who they are as people.
And that's the point.
Exactly.
And if you can just drop the weapons, for that first interaction, you can get to that.
Tell the story.
Okay. So, and this is, I think, where I developed my philosophy. I'd just done the Hill Figure campaign. I was playing a character in that campaign. And Jamila has seen it on a billboard somewhere, took a picture of it, tweeted, "Doesn't this guy look like a wanker?" And I was like, "It's quite funny. He does, to be fair." And then one of, I think
she was spot on.
One of your followers who follows me and follows her said, "He's not a wanker, that's Max." And so that was what brought it to my attention. So then I wrote to Jamila, I was nice. I was like, "Well, you know, obviously you understand I'm sort of playing a role here. And by the way, it's, we know each other." And then she was, and then she immediately dropped, and she was like, "I'm so humbled. I'm so sorry." It was a momentary loss of concentration. And obviously she makes her living being quite funny.
Yeah.
So she obviously just blurred the lines between funny and stepping over the mark, which I don't think it really was stepping over the mark. But it made me think, do you know what? Even when somebody calls you a wanker online, within two tweets, you can be all back friends again. And that's what made me think this is something we can achieve.
It's not as black and white.
And although this may sound like I'm defending trolls, I'm not. What I'm doing is making people who are victims of trolls perhaps have a perspective that makes them feel not quite so victimized.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these are usually people who aren't horrible.
Totally, totally.
You owe me a story. Tell me about the first time you were ever trolled. Well, you were your best trolling story was pre-social media, really, wasn't it? It was.
Well, I mean, I think the godfather of trolling, could we say, is potentially Perez Hilton.
Potentially. He's as good as invented it.
Oh, his website became so big and so powerful that the things that he would do, and the drips on people's noses to make fun of them going out and partying, or, you know, Lindsay Lohan, bless her, she was always like an absolute target of his. And it started to really affect people's careers and their lives. Now, I was never one to like, I mean, Perez would like to write about the dolls, and it was mostly just trying to be very divisive between women.
But you as an individual?
I was dating somebody before you, babe.
This can't be true. Already it's lies.
And he was sort of, well, I was on tour and I didn't realize what was happening back at home. But anyways, I'd come home, went to get into my house with all my bags after being on the road for like a year. And I'm locked out of my door, like can't get in. He finally answers and says that we're breaking up and is ready to throw all my stuff out. And it was a whole situation. And I still didn't really understand what was going on. So anyways.
Meanwhile, he was shacked up with an actress.
He was shacked up with an actress. And I find out by Perez Hilton, like it's just splashed across the social media. Pussycat doll dumped by XXX. And that was the first time like my personal life was put out there in such a way. And it was written in a way that made me seem really feeble and a bit like the victim, victimized, the whole thing. And it did feel really personal and horrific. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way that it made me feel, especially because I don't go out there putting myself out there for it. So I felt almost hunted to have this story put out there. But I mean, at least we have come to a place where at least Perez Hilton isn't as armed as he once was.
Well, I think he's kind of maybe had a little bit of the taste of his own medicine. And even he, the king of the trolls, has realized the error of his ways. And again, that goes back to my point that there's a reason why people are like this, and it's not because of you, it's because of them.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole punching down thing, really, isn't it? Because there was another time that I was trolled by James Corden. Couldn't believe this. Yeah. So I've been working on Got to Dance 3 years at this point. And mind you, one of his shows is on the same network.
You should be buddies.
And I believe it was the Brits that he was hosting, and he was introducing Nicole Scherzinger, you know, one of our band members, but introduced her as the only member that anybody cares about.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there watching, really feeling like I'm a huge part of this, moment and supporting Nicole. And then it was just like, it felt like such a punch down.
Do you know what I think it is with that particular, again, I would argue that particular situation is he can't think of a joke, but he's not that funny. It's a really short, easy joke to come up with, right?
Yeah.
And it just, again, it reflects back on him. So I guess that's you as an individual, but I think there's three categories of trolling, and I've said that. So you were either trolled as an individual, trolled as an ensemble, or trolled as part of a project.
Oh, yeah.
And the king of that one, the peak of that one was just a year ago, when you were doing Dancing on Ice. And what a project.
I mean, if you're going to sign up for a show that people are voting, you know that you're signing up for people to feel, choose a feeling about
you. That's the point of the show.
Yes.
The point of the show is you pick a favourite. It's like a football team. You pick a favourite, you support that favourite, and as a result, you don't like the others because you want your favourite to win.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. You sign up for that.
Yeah.
What you don't sign up for is personal attack.
I mean, I wanted to see what I could do on ice. I was really excited. I love, you know, tapping into that athlete. Love being a bit of my performer side. But dancing on ice is very hard. Yeah. And because I come from a ballet background, you know, I'm putting all my ballet bests into it, going to the ballet foundations, make sure I have these lovely long lines, making sure I use my flexibility.
Which, of course, supports you and makes you a good competitor.
Supports you, but you're still on one foot then on the ice. Like, the possibility for something to go wrong is quite high.
The jeopardy for you as a dancer, which helps you in the show, as a dancer, is that your entire career is over.
But, yes.
If you fall.
Yeah, done. But the show, for some reason, I think the 13, 14 years that the show has been around, the way that the audience that watches it has maybe chosen not to be educated in the fact that the women are still doing just as much as the men on the show. But they have chosen to believe the women are not as good and do not do as much as the boys. And it makes it almost impossible for a woman to do well on that show.
What we have is we have shows like that, and it started sort of with Pop Idol and X Factor and things, where you've got people, rather than being taught to be singers or dancers, they're being taught to be judges.
That's it.
So you've got
Simon Cowell.
And his Simon Cowell. Which is actually really interesting. And what people are sitting at home are learning how to be Simon Cowell. Well, of course, if you're watching and you understand ice skating in any way whatsoever, you'd know that there's no way you were being flung around.
All she does is put a leg up by her head. And what were some of the other ones that we got?
I mean, you just the flung around thing. That's all fine. If you prefer the other guy, then that's fine. But it's when it's like, she just seems like she's so fake, and I hate her smile. Her kids' names are and all this, and you just think, oh, hold on a minute, I'm just trying to entertain you for an hour.
You get swept up in that whirlwind, whether you like it or not.
Well, you're competitive. You want to do well.
You just want to do your best. Then, of course, you're doing promo for the show. And every person that talks to you wants to be like, so the people are saying this about you. How do you feel? So then you have to, like, stay in the game, rehearsing your 8 hours a day to get ready for it. Get all dressed up, knowing that you're almost going up against a losing battle. Because no matter what you do, it's never going to be good enough for them, for these trolls that have chosen to think a certain way.
Yeah, you were their favourite way, babe.
No, I was their third favourite.
Yeah, babe. You were their third favourite. And I doubt you even were a third favourite.
I won by 10 points by the judges. I did things on the show that nobody in history has ever done before.
I left your mark, babe.
And I did.
That's what matters. What doesn't matter is a woman of a certain age and their opinions. I do find that strange. Like,
we have a lot of work to do as women still. And that was what I learned from doing that show.
Yeah.
Outside of the actual competition and challenge, is like, the way we treat other women and how we view them and how women still feel that. I think it's in our DNA to compete. It's a competitive sort of nature. And you can't just be like, it shouldn't be that way and change the world. Like, this is history of.
There's reasons why.
Absolutely. But, there's definitely needs to be some change had.
Shall we talk about the time when ensemble trolling and individual trolling combined and clashed in a blaze of thunder and lightning?
Blaze of fire.
You've just had a baby.
Just had a baby. Had worked for almost 2.5 years to get a reunion off the ground.
Pussycat Dolls.
Right. And then sign the contract. And 2 weeks later, try and rule out the feelings that I'm feeling of feeling incredibly unwell.
We were pregnant.
Pregnant.
Sorry,
surprise.
You were pregnant. I know some people are very triggered by the "we were pregnant" situation.
You were trolled for that.
I'll just let you know, I don't care either way. It's just a word I said.
But so we knew, like, crap. But so we looked at the sort of schedule of this, and we were looking at having a baby by cesarean and being back on stage performing 7 weeks after.
Yeah. In the X Factor.
Which you usually don't move after cesarean for at least 6 weeks, but I had a brilliant doctor, gave my abs a stitch while we were in there, tied those tubes so another little special bundle doesn't ever come around again.
Reunite ever again. This won't be an issue again.
God, being a pregnant woman is not easy. And keeping up all your fitness through the whole 9 months. of a little boy in there just like spreading his arms and legs trying to stretch out your tummy as much as he could. My abs were like still over by my obliques. But so he took his least amount of drugs as possible to get me up on my feet after the surgery as quick as possible so we could start healing fast.
Yeah.
I'm getting passionate, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm just leaving.
You were right there with me.
I was.
You filmed it.
I did. I was told to. Arguably, I could have gotten a lot of trouble in the hospital as you're stepping out of the bed for the first time and you're asking me to get the floor shot rather than help you to the bathroom.
At least make it look epic, you know?
Exactly. If a nurse had walked in at that point, I would have been sent directly to prison, lying on the floor whilst filming.
You learned Pilates, didn't you? Prenatal.
Well, I mean, I'm a Pilates coach anyway, but I took my pre and postnatal qualifications so that I could guide you through this situation carefully and safely.
And that's what we did. And
we should also always clarify at this point, this is not a normal thing to do. It wasn't without complications, and you have had to correct certain things that caused you problems as a result.
It took a lot longer to overcome.
It also helps that your trainer was with you 24/7, and right. I was literally helping you move, helping you around the house. Everything was a slow progression.
The turmeric and pepper, helped.
I mean,
for inflammation.
Everything was a slow progression.
Ginger and garlic and diet to fitness. It's all like a huge thing, all leading up to this moment of stepping into rehearsals 5 days before the big X Factor reunion performance. I'm sitting there in the group getting filmed breastfeeding.
You were breastfeeding 2 minutes before the performance of the in the X Factor.
Yeah.
You had to breastfeed pretty much straight after as well.
Yeah.
I'm there, baby strapped to me the whole time, just following you around like...
Had the band around me so that my muscles stayed together, didn't I? Like a corset kind of thing.
Yeah. Somehow, and I still don't know how, it sort of felt like it was just going to happen at the time. You did and delivered everything. Beat perfect.
I did do it.
This is superhuman. Again, not without complications, but you did what you set out to do. It's an unbelievable feat of humanity.
What I didn't do was take care of... So I figured that maybe just a bit of a shortcut I could make, lots of pop stars do it, is to wear a wig. Because then I don't have to deal with the colouring and the cut. And
So I
go out there to do this massive performance in my very cool blonde ambition... wig, finish the performance, look online, and all that anybody is saying is, she's wearing a wig! I'm like, after all of that, that's all we see.
All that work.
And then it was the 600 some odd comments to ITV about how offended they were by the clothes that we were wearing.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't see past the belly buttons and the bums. And they felt incredibly offended by that. But I really thought in that moment, like being a mom and being a new mom and just having a baby and still being a pussycat doll was like the ultimate stance and just owning your space and owning like what our bodies are really capable of. So going into it with that sort of intent and coming out the other end with my tail between my legs, like...
And a wig on your head.
What just happened? Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I've just climbed a mountain, gone to the moon, done anything like the most I'm capable of as a human being. And people were just a little bit annoyed that I wore a wig.
Oh my God.
But then shortly after that, we lost Caroline Flack. Horrendous for people in our world because she was a big character.
That beautiful soul left of being kind and making a mark and trying to inspire people to be more mindful was incredible, like outpouring of love amongst the industry gave me hope.
So a few months later, dolls are still doing their thing. You're steadily recovering. You thought you'd have a little check and see where the land lay.
Well, I really did think, I was like, surely this is making huge difference.
Should we have a look at where the land lay, babe? Some of the comments that you had. This is during the height of the Be Kind hashtag.
And like I said, I never do a Google because I do know that it's poisonous, but I just...
Block and delete and avoid.
Had hope and I was curious. And so I find this. Pussycat Dolls on Mail Online. Pussycat Dolls Kimberly Wyatt insists Band is a great influence on young girls and even brings her daughters Willow 5 and Maple 2 to rehearsals after that racy sunrise performance.
Now, just as a short note, we've talked about this before, that headline is so provocative, it's begging people to disagree with it. And there is a comment section ready for people to disagree.
Really? For an older woman, experience has certainly not made you smarter. Delusional, brain dead idiot. Here's one of your favorites. This woman's state of mind is on display just by looking at her kid's name, Maple. And anyone who thinks burlesque and striptease is suitable for children should be paid a visit from Child Protection Services.
Wow. So, number one, you're directing your rage at a then 2.5-year-old sweet little girl called Maple.
Just a sweet little name.
Now, let's not forget that if this person clearly has no kids, because they'd know that if their kids were in school now, nobody's called John or Chris or Tony anymore. They're all called Maple and Willow and Senna and interesting, unique names. Also, though we don't really think burlesque is suitable for children, but again, you may be a little bit misinformed in what burlesque actually is. You should possibly step outside your house and go see a show, go get some culture.
My kids were with me every step of the way watching all of this happen and the sacrifice that goes into being a performer, being a dancer, being a pussycat doll. Dance, I grew up in dance. My kids are dancers, wearing costumes, getting on stage, dancing to music, really exploring different emotions. Like, it's all a huge part. And I think pop music is a huge outlet.
What people like this are saying is that you're introducing them to sex at a young age.
I know.
Which is utterly ridiculous because, of course, kids don't understand those concepts at this
point.
That's
their problem.
If you're sexualizing a child in this scenario, then the problem does, I'm afraid, lie with you, and you should probably seek help. And please, if you're finding this comment difficult, please comment to us. Make yourself known so that I can make sure my kids are never left in a room alone with you.
Then, babe, yeah.
That's how we protect our kids.
It's true.
We don't stop them knowing what we do for a living.
Yeah, I'm proud of what I've accomplished, and go on, babe.
What happened to her nose? Drugs.
My nose, my face, my body changed so much through, especially this third freaking pregnancy. Senna was horrific.
And your nose swelled up a bit.
It did.
I don't know a drug on this planet that makes your nose swell up.
Oh, man.
But good for you, Chrissy. It was a great effort.
But I already felt quite insecure about it. And I was like, drugs, flight.
Maybe you should get out and enjoy your life a little bit as well.
Yeah, honey, you know it's not. Kimberly White is full of shit. Like, it just...
No, but they didn't say shit, did they? They said S-H-1-T.
Yeah, they did.
So they left us to say the swear word.
Did they go to university to learn how to spread their legs? Classy, it ain't. It makes women uncomfortable, but they obviously don't do that for the benefit of women, do they?
I don't think you went to... You didn't go to university. No, but hear me out. Come on.
What's their name?
What's their name? Lag, nah. London. Now, I don't, that doesn't determine whether or not it's a female or a male, but for the cases, sake of argument, I'm going to say that's a female. And say that actually you did go to the Joffrey Ballet to learn all sorts of ballet positions. And so technically, she's right. You did go to university to learn how to spread your legs in some incredible positions. But this was actually the reason why you went there.
So. And I guess that's the tough thing, is I've always done my best within my career as a dancer to bring ballet and contemporary to all the jazz and commercial and street dancing that I do. But I guess for those that don't know dance or have any sort of experience with it, they just see a leg up and think stripper. And I think that's probably will always be something that I have to fight with. Well, I don't fight it, do I? I just block it. And we heard, you were there too, this is what we heard, is that some organizations, media outlets, they use bots on their pages in the comment section to say things that they know is going to provoke people's responses. So that they then comment back and get into heated discussions, because the anger keeps you there longer because you have something to prove.
Advertising, because the longer you stay on the page, the more they'll pay for advertising. Now, this is a conspiracy theory.
That we're willing to begin.
We are happy to claim this and send it on its way, and feel free to, you know, start Facebook groups and go on marches.
But when you see a comment that you feel like is getting you, like, it might just be a bot.
Know that you're being triggered deliberately. It's happening to you. Just relax. Take a moment. Don't play the game. Moves us on nicely to our questions, though.
Ooh.
Did you have any responses?
Yeah, I've got some really great responses. See, this first one I quite like because I feel like I can, I feel like I was once there.
Okay.
And I know, because I'm not really a troll. No. I don't really have those feelings to stay in the comments section and use keys of courage. But Morattle says, I used to bag on Trump a lot, but that's just trauma I don't need. And I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot that I felt like I wanted to say, and I felt like I almost needed to put it out there.
There you go. That might be another example of why a troll does what it does, because you just want to get something off your chest, and it's a great place to do that, and you think it's got an audience, and that's enough for you.
Yeah.
I've got one that's Yeah, unfortunately for Mirella, and I'm saying your name, Mirella, because I it's not something you should be ashamed of. Yeah, unfortunately about the dog stepped on a bee, I need a pee, for the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case, yeah. Which basically became a craze and a meme, and really it's trolling. The first person who wrote that was trolling, but it's kind of like the blurred lines between comedy and pop culture, and ironically pop culture is about a court case, but that is what it is these days. And if we all get involved and it goes viral, are we all complicit? And that's where it is fine lines between, this is where people get confused and they might say things they don't really want to say.
Here's a very interesting one.
Yeah.
I've called out blatant attention seeking as embarrassing themselves. See, this one is like, it's wrapped up and they think that they're trying to help, but ultimately it is trolling.
Yeah, you've made the decision that it's blatant attention seeking, and it may quite obviously be that way, but the person who is attention seeking, in inverted commas, may just be trying to create something, maybe just trying to make an impact on the world in a way that's not necessarily trolling. So you do have to be careful with, you have to give people their space. If you don't like something, move along.
That's it.
There's so many other things to see.
If you don't have something nice to say, then don't say anything at all. I think that's what social media should run as their strap line.
Watch them all die. Like the share price is plummeting. Elon Musk backing out.
A few comments of nice boobs and bum.
Yeah, so literally they took it as an opportunity to troll. Thanks. By the way, when you say something like that, you're being positive. But it's not positive, is it? It's invasive.
Now, I want to be careful about the ones that I say, because I don't want to add more gravitas to the trolling comments. But I'm going to say this one. We can always bleep out the name.
Yeah.
It does make me laugh. Blocked me for asking whether she owned any tops that had sleeves.
I like the way she proudly says it as well. Well, you know, she's never got sleeves. What did you expect me to do? Oh, that's brilliant. I
thank you for saying that.
Fantastic.
Offering to let someone financially dominate me with their feet. Is that trolling?
It's probably unwanted advances in a way. Yeah, no,
it is.
It's like a dick pic or getting told nice boobs, nice bum when you've asked a question about something completely different.
Lisa says, they commented, let the wind blow through your hair. He was bald. Why would you say that? I don't understand.
Wow. He knows he's bald. Do you know what I mean? Oh, bless. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. By the way, thank you all for responding to this. I realised this was a difficult question. It requires you sort of stepping out. But I genuinely think it's further examples of good people slightly misunderstanding the impact of their comments. And I would say that most trolls are that way inclined. So if you are suffering from being trolled or bullied online, understand that there is a strong chance, not every case, of course not every case, there's a strong chance that people just aren't quite fully aware of what they're doing.
I'd like to think that social media has been around long enough now that we're starting to understand as a society
its impact.
Its impact and the fact that it is part of our world now, whether we want it to be or not. It is, and it does affect people, and we have to be more mindful.
Yeah.
If you have nothing nice to say,
say nothing at all. Was this a lighthearted? Did we manage to keep this episode lighthearted?
Maybe not lighthearted. There wasn't a whole lot of laughs.
We didn't do a whole lot about social media tactics either, did we necessarily? People who have tuned in and gone, right, tell me my social media strategy. To be fair, we're probably not the ones to give you that.
Well, I think because it's different for every person. We all have to really learn about who we are and how social media affects us. Because as the stats say, the depression and anxiety and stresses, even in young kids, because of social media, is on a huge rise. We're at a tipping point. So it comes to being able to arm and help our kids have a better relationship with it than we were ever able to have.
Yeah, it's impossible for us because it's come so fast.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard about social media to an extent was being in an interview in London with the Pussycat Dolls. And they were like, so are you guys on Instagram? Had no idea what it was. And I was like, God, no, why would I ever? Now it's like such a huge part of everybody's life. Well, should we end on something very uplifting, like a game, maybe? Should we play Headline?
The same game we've played all the other week. Yeah, we should.
I feel good about this week.
Yeah. Blank pushes bikini-clad daughter Gemma into the sea in TikTok challenge as he claims she's the most annoying of his four children. I'm so glad you know who it is. I have no idea who that was.
You do know who it is.
Do I?
Should I give you some hints?
Okay, yeah, please do.
Football legend.
Right.
Went out on an injury.
Right.
Played Crystal Maze with him.
Oh, because you know his kids' names?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know who it is.
Who is it?
Michael Owen.
Yes, I think it is.
It's unbelievable to me, and that shows the impact of pop culture and headlines, that you got a Liverpool and England legend before I even... And I had absolutely no idea.
I'm that good.
It's a heavily pop culture-weighted podcast, isn't it?
Blank, 66, looks incredible as Wonder Woman for Halloween, 14 years after daughter Kim Kardashian, 42, did it first. I mean...
What's Kim Kardashian's mum name?
Do you really not know? Do you really not know the...
Yeah, Mrs. Yeah, but I don't know.
Kardashian.
Mrs. Kardashian? I don't know what her name is.
Really? You have no idea? You always say it would be a funny name for a boy baby. Remember?
Chris.
Yes! Chris Jenner.
Oh, Chris Jenner. Yeah. Oh, that's her. Oh, no, yeah, I did. No, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I knew that.
No, nobody believes you. You didn't know that.
No, I was thinking that her mum would be called Kardashian for some reason.
No.
No, I know they're all related and that's all one thing. I didn't realise that was her mum, though. I've never watched that show. I just don't care. I honestly do not care. I care so little about that everything I guess I've ever seen on it, I've just turned away.
But do you care to win 2 points?
I've got you, babe. Blank. Dressed up as pop icon Shania Twain for Halloween this year as she left fans utterly floored as she posted a sizzling snap to her grid.
I know who it is. I know who it is.
Auntie Ash.
Yep. Ashley Robert.
And she looked amazing.
Yeah, she told me.
She was very excited about what she was going to be doing this year. She's wanted to do that for a long while.
She came with me on the school run. We were chit-chatting. We went in about the costume. Yeah. Fully leopard Shania Twain. That don't impress me much. I mean, I was really impressed, but that's the name of the song.
Yes, exactly.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great look. We're killing it this week, I tell you. We're on fire.
Whoop.
Ready for the last one? Dad duty, blank, tells daughter princess off as she advertises dresses on Instagram. I only know one dad that has a little girl named Princess.
That'd be Peter Andre.
Woo!
Yes, it would be Peter Andre.
Woo!
4 out of 4.
Boom! Boo-doo-doo.
I met Princess when she was a tiny little baby.
Peter Andre's always been really lovely.
Yeah. Lives around here, doesn't he?
I have no idea. I think so.
Get in touch, mate. Tell us where you live. What a concise, tight, informative episode,
babe. Of the fame game.
We need to talk about what we learned today.
What did you learn?
We learned if you've got nothing nice, say nothing at all.
Yes.
We've potentially learned that if you are a victim of trolling, you could take comfort from the fact that at least 80% of these people don't quite know the impact of the words and wouldn't use them if they did.
I feel like we could pimp you out. If you are a victim of trolling, get in touch for the Louis Theroux of trolling. Max Rogers is here to help you.
Oh, let me reply to some trolls. That would be... I would love that. Yeah. I'd bloody love that. It'd be a great Christmas present for me, that.
Be a great crack, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Never said that word. Just
good. Tried that out.
Yeah.
Well done, babe.
Thank you for listening to this week's The Fame Game. Now, before you go, make sure to hit subscribe or follow, and that means you're first to know of next week's episode.
What my wonderful wife actually means is thank you for listening to So You've Decided to Become Famous. You can also let us know you liked it by rating 5 stars, leaving a lovely review, or by sharing with a friend.
You can follow us at Kimberly Wyatt and at Max Rogers UK. See you next time.
Insanity Group.